Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear about the VA's efforts to reach veterans all across Minnesota. We'll meet a local nonprofit helping veteran entrepreneurs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
A little more than 100 years ago, in the blowing sands of the New Mexico desert, our Army formed the unit now known as our 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. While they were initially known as the Sandstorm Division, it was during World War II the division earned its current name and its current motto. As the 34th fought across North Africa and Italy, their wary enemy bemoaned that all the unrelenting Red Bulls would do was attack, then attack, then attack. Today, proud Red Bulls across our state and nation carry on the legacy earned by our veterans, those that fought tirelessly during World War II, Iraq, and Afghanistan. To all of those who have and those that continue today to wear the Red Bull patch, I thank you for your dedication, your sacrifice, and your service. Red Bulls, attack, attack, attack.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the VA Medical Center is their telehealth coordinator, Angie Nichols. Angie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Angie, I understand that you're a native Minnesotan and that you, some time ago, you joined the Army.
That's true, yes.
And what did you do in the Army?
I enlisted as a German linguist interrogator.
Interrogator.
Yeah, it's a little daunting, isn't it?
It sounds like it could be. But it was kind of at a time of relative peacetime.
True, yes.
So you went and got some education, schooling, and they sent you off to Germany.
That's exactly how it worked.
I'll bet that was a great duty station for a while.
No complaints. Almost 3 years overseas, and I would do it again.
And after that, you went back to school, and I understand that you spent 20 years working in higher education.
Yeah, a long time, actually. And really, thanks to the military, I was able to get to college. It was never on my radar.
GI Bill does good things, doesn't it?
It does good things, yes. Definitely. I had a great time. Going to three different schools and getting my degrees and working in higher ed, it was a lot of fun.
Winona State and University of Wisconsin La Crosse and up at the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
So you spent a lot of time getting educated and in education.
Right.
How did you get to the VA?
It's a good question. I spent the last, 15 years in education up at the University of Minnesota Duluth. I love it up there. I love the North Shore. Being from Bloomington, Minnesota, here in the Twin Cities, I was still close to home. And, sometimes you get a lot of signals that it's time to do something new. And I moved down to the cities, worked for a small law firm for a year downtown before figuring out what I wanted to do. I almost went to law school. I took the exam and was admitted to William Mitchell School of Law and decided not to go. And then I was offered the position at the VA for the facility telehealth coordinator.
Well, that must have been a new position at the VA because this is relatively new technology, right?
Actually, I was really, really surprised. So when I took this position, when I was interviewing for it, I learned about all the technology, and they've been doing telehealth for, over 10 years and are one of the front runners in the industry.
Well, the Minneapolis VA Medical Center really is at the cutting edge, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I have to talk to the director. He hasn't told me about this virtual medical room that we're going to talk about today, but we have been talking to a lot of veterans about MyHealth eVet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that to be a terrific device for communicating with my doctors, with the nurses, ordering up any prescriptions you need. I mean, it's great. In the next step, virtual medical rooms, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is kind of the best of everything there in that package. Virtual medical room, if people haven't heard about it, it's also known as VVC or VA Video Connect, Victor Charlie. And it enables you to use your own smartphone, tablet, or personal computer with a webcam to have a video visit with your provider. and you connect to it through a simple email that comes with a link. And you click on it and go through a couple of steps, and you meet each other on video. And there's even a chat box in there that you can type in.
Now, Angie, I was looking at the VA website this morning, and it said the home telehealth is for veterans who have health problems like diabetes, chronic heart failure, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, depression, or PTS, and it helps them get treatment that can be complex and inconvenient. So a lot of your patients maybe have difficulty getting to the VA Medical Center, or in between annual visits, maybe this is a way that they can stay connected better. Is that what it's used for?
Right. Yes. Home telehealth, it's something, it falls under telehealth. And when you're enrolled in that for chronic disease management, for example, you are followed by home telehealth care coordinators, and they're nurses who are able to see transmissions from different digital devices. Like maybe it's uploading your blood pressure or your weight every day, answering some questions about how you're feeling. And they're able to see, you know, when things maybe aren't looking so good, and they can reach out to you and give you some advice or tell you what you need to do.
Wow, sounds great. We're speaking with Angie Nichols, who is the VA Medical Center Facility Telehealth Coordinator on Minnesota Military Radio. So can you tell us, how does this VA Video Connect work?
Sure. So picture this. You're sitting at your computer, or maybe you're on the job during the day and you have an appointment at lunchtime. You could log on to your iPad. Either way, wherever you are, you just need access to your email, because you'll get a link sent to you. And a link is something you click on, and it takes you to an internet web page called Virtual Medical Room it's a space, really, that it links to, and you connect to it on live video. And your provider does the same thing, and he or she will be there waiting for you when you log in. And you'll see each other, and you can talk to each other, and you don't have to be in a clinic somewhere.
So for our more recent veterans, they use Skype from Afghanistan or Kuwait and those type of things, similar to that.
It's very similar, yes. And we're not able to use Skype just because it isn't deemed secure for using it in healthcare. But this virtual medical room is very similar, and it's owned by the VA, and it looks a lot like Skype.
So if you've got an appointment with their medical provider or a nurse or doctor, whoever it might be, and it doesn't involve putting their hands on you or getting a blood sample or whatever that means, then you could use this virtual to speak to them
real
time.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, we even have another version of virtual medical room that our providers can use with patients, and it's called video on demand. And they can... If you call and need to talk to your doctor and you have questions, or, you know, you have something and you want to show them something, you can use the video on demand technology with them. They'll send you a link, and in under 2 minutes, you'll get it, and you can both be connected, and you can talk to them face to face, which feels a lot more like a visit with them rather than a telephone call, which is what we used to have to do.
Well, this is really cutting edge, because even with your non-VA doctors, if you're going to your civilian doctor, you got to call and get an appointment and wait for the appointment, go in and do all of this, and maybe go in early and give blood samples.
Right.
But this really cuts to the chase and allows you to stay in contact with your doctor and nurses anytime you need to.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said earlier, it's cutting edge, and Minneapolis VA is on the front of this. You know, it's something that's being offered nationwide, but I believe that we're really high performing in this area.
Andrew, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more about how it works and what type of equipment we need to hook up to a virtual medical room with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We're speaking with Angie Nichols, the Facility Telehealth Coordinator on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Angie Nichols, who is the VA Medical Center Facility Telehealth Coordinator, and we've been talking about virtual medical room, where we're using today's technology to put the patients from the VA Medical Center in direct contact with their medical providers at the VA in real time, in between other visits when they have to come in and give blood and do things like that. And Angie, that's a pretty good title there, telehealth coordinator. What does a telehealth coordinator do?
Yeah, so that's a complex question. I do a lot of things during the day, and you know how sometimes you're in a position where you have a plan and you have certain things that you want to accomplish each day, and you're lucky if you do all of them? My day is kind of like that. I have really good intentions and I have a flow that I want to go through, but there are a lot of interruptions because people need things, and technology can be demanding, and people need it now.
So you run out of day before you run out of things to do every day.
Right. But I've learned how to prioritize things very well and get things done. Some of the things that I do involve directly working with veterans. So if somebody's getting set up on virtual medical room and I'm available, I get to call a veteran and walk him or her through retrieving the email that they get the link in, walking them through the connection steps, and then we actually get to see each other on a video test call.
On the test.
Right. Before they are actually going to see their provider maybe in 3 or 4 days.
Now, how are the veterans taken to it? Is there a difference between the younger veterans and the older veterans? Are they quicker to pick it up? How's it going?
Surprisingly, no. So this is what I hear sometimes from providers. This will work really well with some of my veterans, but maybe not the older ones. And I like to challenge them a little bit because in my experience with the test calls, the older generation is doing a really good job and they like the technology. And even if they don't pick up on it right away, they get there. I had one gentleman ask me to disconnect and connect. And he said, can we do this like 3 times? Because I know if I do it 3 times, I'll remember the steps.
Perfect.
There aren't that many steps. But, it helped him feel comfortable with it. And he got it. And he seems to love it.
So there's a big training component when it comes to the patients and the veterans.
Sure.
How about the doctors and nurses and staff? Is there a little training? Is there a little acceptance to gain there too?
Maybe. So we see sometimes the residents that work at the VA, are typically much younger, very interested in technology, and very eager. But we definitely have a cadre of providers who use telehealth technology all the time and really like it for the convenience of our veterans. And then we have some who are beginning to become curious about it. And sure, there are some training requirements before they're ready to do their first video visit. But I wouldn't say that they dislike it or have an aversion to it. I think it's just something to get used to. Because, think about it. A lot of providers are used to walking into the room, their patient's there, ready, they shake hands. And they just have a sort of a sequence to how they do their visits. And this is quite a bit different. You don't get to touch your patient. You can't shake their hand.
But this is kind of a supplemental opportunity to be in contact with the patient. You still need to see them every so often and get blood samples and do those things. But
right.
In between, it makes life easier for both sides, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So one of the things, if I may, talking about like Please. Something we're trying to start out here, let's say you're going in for surgery and we want to follow up with you weekly for maybe 3 weeks. What we can do is set you up before your surgery, if it's scheduled a week in advance or at least a few days, and we can send out an iPad mini, like a miniature iPad, to the patient, or send it to the facility, and after they're recovering from surgery, show them how this works, do a demo so they know how to do it. And then when they go home, their follow-up visits can be over video.
They don't have to get back in the car. They don't have to get uncomfortable. They just do it, and it's comfortable, at home, convenient.
Yes. And wouldn't you love that if you just had bypass surgery and you don't have to drive? I mean, who knows?
Absolutely.
You could live in International Falls or Duluth or Hibbing, and I mean, sure, you could go to a community-based outpatient clinic, or you could just go get an email link, click on it, and jump onto a video call with your doctor.
And for your doctors and nurses, they can see what you look like.
Right.
And ask your questions and see if you're in pain. and have some good communication. That sounds terrific to me. Now, what type of equipment is necessary in order to use Video Connect?
Sure. So think about it. Most people have a personal computer, a smartphone, or a tablet, like an iPad or something, right? And many of those devices have cameras embedded in them. If you happen to have a PC at home and you don't have a webcam on it, you could always get one. But most of our laptops seem to have webcams on them already. So that's really what you need. You need internet access, and our cell phones usually run on 4G. So, you know, you're set there. They have cameras.
You have to have the audio, of course.
Right. Yeah. And this will, you know, the program will ask you to give access, you know, to your camera, your microphone, things like that. So it's really intuitive to start using. But basically, yeah, those are the three categories: your own computer, a tablet, or a smartphone.
So, Angie, who's eligible to use this, and who decides if a video appointment's appropriate?
So who decides if it's appropriate? I would have to say it would be a conversation between the veteran and their provider. Some visits, like in specialty care, for example, let's say you were going to go see a neurologist. From what they've told me, their first visit is a hands-on exam, and that's really impossible to do through video. So they would want to see you the first time in person, and then it would be up to you and your provider to have a discussion about follow-up visits over video and maybe how that might work.
So is there another use if some of our veterans are visiting the community-based outpatient clinics and they're going in there for routine care, if they're coming up on a surgery or if they've got some specialty doctor that they need to talk to, can they hook them up from the clinic to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that we've been doing for years. That's what I found out when I came on board, is that we do video visits out of the Minneapolis VA to the community-based outpatient clinics. And there are telehealth staff in every one of those community clinics that you go into. And you can always request a video visit. And if your provider says no, I would say they have good reasons to, you know, that they want to see you in person. But mostly, I think veterans should ask and ask for help getting connected with that. But if you didn't want to go into the community-based outpatient clinic, you could also sort of ask for this newer technology and ask if you could have a visit from home.
So then the key for our veterans who are eligible for VA care is, if you want to check into virtual medical rooms, which we call a VA Video Connect sometimes, all they have to do is talk to their doctor or their nurse.
Right.
And say, you know, that's a long trip, 200 miles down there, and I don't feel well. I'll come down when I have to. But in between, can we just do this? And then they'd look into it and answer your question.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Great. And it's nice to know that you're there to help those veterans figure out how to make it work.
Sure. That's why we're there. Yes.
It's just like me calling my granddaughter. Come on, Maddie, help me figure this out. It's a lot easier. Okay. We just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about virtual medical room and how it all works and who it's for?
No, I think it's great. And I wanted to give a plug to our county veteran service officers too, because we're starting to establish access points through them. So if you didn't have the technology or know how to use it, we're going to roll some stuff out here soon where you can actually go to them and get help.
So once again, like we've said 100 times on this show, if you have anything veteran-related, go see your county veteran service officer. They can either help you or point you to some resources, and soon they might even be able to hook you up for a virtual medical room appointment with your doctor.
Absolutely.
Technology is making life a lot easier, isn't it?
It is. I'd like to think so.
Angie, I want to thank you for coming to the studio today. It's been delightful talking to you.
Thank you so much, Tom. Nice to be with you.
That was Angie Nichols, the facility telehealth coordinator from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay tuned. In a moment, we'll visit with a local nonprofit helping veteran entrepreneurs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with a local nonprofit that's helping veteran entrepreneurs get set up for business. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor our African-American veterans, those serving today, and those who have served throughout history. African-Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contributions African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio now is one of our producers, Annette Kuiper. She's the Director of Military Outreach, which is part of the Department of Military Affairs for the state of Minnesota. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been busy running all over the state as usual, but every time you come to the show, you bring somebody interesting with you.
Yes. Whenever we hear about new great organizations coming to Minnesota, we synchronize with them, and we like to showcase them on the radio show.
And who did you bring today?
So today I brought in Tim O'Neill from Bunker Labs. He's the executive director, and I really want Tim to tell the story across Minnesota about the great things that Bunker Labs has been doing.
And Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand you're the executive director of Bunker Labs Minneapolis, which is a local chapter of the national nonprofit focused on empowering military veterans to lead the next wave of entrepreneurial creation.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, but that's certainly who we are. We're helping military vets be successful at starting their own businesses.
Now, you're a veteran yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. I was in the Marine Corps from 2006 to 2013, served as an infantry officer, and that's how I ended up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And a Marine serving as the executive director, Bunker Labs, leading the next wave of entrepreneurial creation. Let me see now. I got to think of, oh, well, okay, you were a Marine, but once a Marine, always a Marine, right?
That's what they say.
So creation. Tell us about Bunker Labs. How did you get hooked up with Bunker Labs? Where did this all come from?
Yeah, so for me, it's really about a lived experience. And so you know about my military background. I was in the Marine Corps, and after 2013, got out, spent a few years in grad school, and then decided that entrepreneurship was for me. And so went off and started my own company, a company called Fidelis Co. It's relevant in the sense that I had this experience of what it was like to go out there and hang the shingle, as they say, and work on starting my own business. And through that process, I learned about Bunker Labs. I had people in the community reach out and say, hey, there's this interesting thing going on down in Chicago. Why don't you learn about it and become more involved? And had an opportunity to visit with the team down there, Todd Connor in particular, the original founder of Bunker Labs, and kind of showed me around about the organization, and really liked what they were doing. And I always say I sat on enough conference calls and asked enough questions and eventually owned the process. And so we cut the ribbon in September of 2016, really about helping people that were going through something that I was involved in.
Tim, there's a lot of people that have come back from deployments and a lot of military that have gotten out of the service in the last decade, and they've served in war zones, Afghanistan, Kuwait. They've been all over the place, Iraq. And a certain number of them probably think about being in business where most people just want to go find a good job and do it. But there are entrepreneurs out there, and it's as long as we've been on this show on the radio, people have been wondering, now, how do I figure out how to start a business? Do I have a good idea? Is it going to work? Where do I get some help? And this is what Bunker Labs is all about.
It is, yeah. And just to even step back and talk about, what the size of the folks that we're focused on. You know, Tom, 1 in 2 military veterans after World War II came home and started their own business. And today, 1 in 4 is telling us that they're interested in doing it. When it comes down to it, only 6 in 100 are actually going after it and starting their own business. And so we're really kind of set at addressing that drop-off so we can get those numbers back up, hopefully, to the World War II levels, right, and really kind of drive innovation and entrepreneurship here in our local economies.
Tim, I've been in business for over four decades now, and most people don't last that long, but there's two issues that I see when I see young people want to start a business. Number one, how do you do it? And number two, how do you increase your opportunity to be successful? Do you deal with both sides of that?
We do. And we really take the viewpoint, and this is kind of reinforced by research from the Kauffman Institute down in Kansas City on entrepreneurship. But we take the view that it takes a village, it takes an ecosystem, and it takes a community that's thriving and open and diverse, that the veterans got the opportunity to plug in to really increase their success. Sure, at a more tactical level, we offer educational programming and events along those lines. But really, it's about having this thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem that the military veteran feels open and welcome to join when they either return to some community that they left 4 or 20 years ago, or they go to an entirely new community. And we provide that for them.
We're speaking with Tim O'Neill, the executive director of Bunker Labs Minneapolis on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Tim, do you get into the basics? I mean, when I talk to young entrepreneurs that want to go into business, we usually start talking about what type of entity am I going to form? Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be a sole proprietorship or a corporation or a limited liability entity of some kind. And we end up talking about liability issues. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of traps you can fall into. And the more we can teach our veterans, the better chance they're going to have not to fall in those traps.
Yeah, we've got a course in particular that addresses some of those early concerns. It's called Launch Lab, presented by U.S. Bank. And we actually just started our third cohort here, last 12 weeks long. And that's really kind of the core educational programming offering that we have and we provide in the Minneapolis and St. Paul community. And in that course, we do address a lot of the things that you're talking about. You know, what are some of the legal liabilities? So we've gotten terrific support from Briggs & Morgan, a local law firm that comes in and provides free counsel to these veterans. And to your point about, you know, getting in over your skis, as we might say, you know, we even offer the course from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at night, right? We say, hey, when you're in those early stages, there's a lot that you've got to figure out. And we're of the belief that, you know, before you go bet the farm, let's figure out if we've really got something here. And so we offer it in the evening to accommodate folks that still have a day job.
So is there a comfort level in the room knowing that everyone that's in there is gathering information and they're all veterans?
Oh, of course. You know that. The ability to bring people into the room with one another, you know, and they've got that shared background, the shared experience, that just moves the conversation along so much quicker. Trust is developed so much faster. And one of the great things, you know, we could turn a lot of this educational programming out into videos and online chat rooms and those sorts of things. But one of the real values is that they come together and they want to see one another succeed. So they'll do an activity where they share something like a challenge that they're up against to the entire group. And then the group will come together and say, hey, listen, let's think this through. Maybe I know somebody in my network that I can really help you make a connection to and solve that challenge.
So the opportunity to share and have the Q&A is very valuable. And then, of course, for those who have tried some of this and for the experts that you bring in to help them, best practices is an easy way to learn as opposed to making those mistakes and learning the hard way.
You're right, Tom. You know, we always say find somebody 3 to 5 years ahead of where you are and latch on to them, because oftentimes they'll have committed a few mistakes that you can learn from. And so if you can get alongside them and capture those and download some of those, then it'll be that much quicker in your route to success.
Now, Tim, I understand you just started a 12-week a lab? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that specific program is called Launch Lab, presented by U.S. Bank. And a good analog for that is a semester-long night class. So it's 12 weeks long. We work with Toby Nord from the Carlson School of Management to really help teach it. We bring other people like Mike Conroy, who you know well, in as other subject matter experts and really access a whole community of subject matter expertise to really enable these entrepreneurs.
I was going to talk to you about Mike Conroy, having that Marine up there trying to teach these veterans. I don't know about that, Tim. We're going to have to take him out behind the woodshed, I think, talk to him a little bit. Tim, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about more of your offerings and where they are and what it costs and how our veterans can find you. We're talking to Tim O'Neill, Executive Director of Bunker Labs Minneapolis on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Annette Kuiper and Tim O'Neill, who is the Executive Director of Bunker Labs Minnesota. And Tim, for all our listeners out there, if they have these entrepreneurial stirrings and they're veterans and they want to hook up with you, where do they find you?
Yeah, the best place to go is bunkerlabs.org, and from there they can find any number of resources to include our community app, so they could download that right onto their phone and jump right into chat conversations on there with veterans here in our community that are interested in starting businesses.
Now, we were talking in the other segment about a 12-week session that you called, mm-hmm. is it Bunker Lab?
Yeah, so that 12-week course is called Launch Lab.
Launch Lab.
Mm-hmm.
How many times a year do you do that?
Yeah, we offer that course twice a year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And the really the use cases, we say, is for entrepreneurs that are looking to go from an idea to an invoice to get their first invoice. And we help them do that in the 12 weeks. And then we've got a number of other programs like CEO Circle, which is for later stage businesses, so businesses that we'll call it our half a million in recurring revenue, 5 employees. They figured a few things out, but they've still got some challenges. That's another program that we offer, and that'll start up in Q2 of this year.
So that was CEO, Chief Executive Officer, Circle.
Yes.
And so you bring veterans together that are already in business so they can really trade some best practices and talk through some issues that might affect their businesses.
Yeah, it's really about them being peer resources for one another. So it's a facilitated group. We have somebody in there that's kind of running the show, running the room, if you will, and it's really about drawing out the answers to their problems from one another. Because as we talked about earlier, you get a room of enough folks that have enough experience and enough size, then oftentimes the answer is already there. You just need to draw it out.
Figure it out, sort things out, and get back to work. Now, I understand you have 4 components to your organization: exposure, network, validation, and growth. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so we've talked about the two at the end, so we'll start at the beginning. Exposure is really about Bunker Brews. That's the program that we have. And that's a monthly, we'll call it...
a social gathering?
Yeah, social gathering, where we've got a number of thought leaders that will come in, and we host veteran entrepreneurs from the community. And they've got an opportunity to hear from this thought leader and mix with people in the room. We like to say it's about engineering environments. So that's really about kind of exposure. And the initial education component is really about Launch Lab Online. So that's an online digital course that we offer nationally. It's currently ongoing. We've got 600 folks across the country enrolled in it. That's dozens here in the state of Minnesota. I was just looking at the enrollee list the other day. So from southwestern Minnesota to the northeast, we've got them all covered, and they're in there. And then it's Launch Lab cohort, which is the program that we've talked about, the 12-week-long program. And then when they're really set to hit the gas and grow their business, then that's the CEO Circle program.
So all of that information can be found at bunkerlabs.org. And are there places on your website to sign up and contact you and join the next educational opportunity?
Yeah, the best way to find that is to go into the Minneapolis chapter, take a look at that, and then there's a contact us form, and that comes straight to me. So it doesn't go to, you know, to any third party or to anyone off in the ether of the internet. It comes straight to my emails, and I'll get right back to you. So if you've got a question or you think you need some help, we're certainly here and ready and willing.
And I understand you've got an event coming up in March?
We do. We're hosting one of these Bunker Brews that I was talking about. This one in particular is a Bunker Brews focused on blockchain technology. So there's a lot of interest going around on that specific subject. I think in common conversation, people might hear things like Bitcoin as one application of it. But businesses are really interested in kind of rolling that out. And frankly, our entrepreneurial community is really interested in rolling that out. So in this particular event on March 8th, hosted at North 401 Studios in downtown Minneapolis, we've got the opportunity to host a real thought leader from U.S. Bank on the subject, and they're going to talk about kind of what the enterprise-level application looks like with respect to blockchain technology.
Very good. So that's coming up in March, Bunker Brews. More information on that at bunkerlabs.org. Tim, I want to thank you for stopping in the studio and visiting with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate the time and really appreciate this forum and all that you're doing for the veteran community.
Thanks, Tim. Annette, you found another one. Where do you keep finding all these great guests?
Well, we're just so fortunate to find organizations like Bunker Labs who are really willing to synchronize with our efforts across the state and connect in with veterans and military service members and their families.
And so as part of all of your activities, pulling together the Yellow Ribbon companies and the Yellow Ribbon networks all over the state, a lot of those folks are interested in helping their veterans, and some of them might be thinking about starting a business. So Bunker Labs makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We want them to know about Bunker Labs and all the resources that are available to them. And we're really starting a focus in the state of veteran employment and entrepreneurship, and we really want them to know about all these resources that are available to really help them and to connect in with great networks like Tim is able to connect them to through Bunker Labs.
Annette, thank you. I can't wait to see who you're going to bring in next time.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Annette Kuiper and Tim O'Neill from Bunker Labs on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, I think for the first time this year.
Yes, it sure is, Tom. It's great to be back with you, and Happy New Year to you, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. A little bit later, I want to talk about the Super Bowl, because I know the Minnesota National Guard is helping out with that, but I understand that you just recently finished up the Joint Senior Enlisted Leadership Conference. That's a long name. What's that all about, Sergeant Major?
Yeah, I know it's no acronyms, but we call it JSELC for short. And, you know, we've discussed this previously, is that opportunity throughout the year where I'm able to get our senior enlisted leaders from both the Army and the Air Force together and bring them together, talk about the things that are pressing for our organization. And this year was really special because we had the opportunity to have our Adjutant General up here. For the first time, he had the opportunity to address our senior enlisted leaders. Of course, you know, as the new Adjutant General. So it was great to hear his vision, the direction that he wants our organization to head. And, you know, the people that get things done for us in the organization are our enlisted soldiers and leaders and airmen. So they all got to hear that message direct for him. So that was fantastic.
And Sergeant Major, some of our listeners might not know, but as the top senior enlisted advisor in the National Guard, you get to work with both soldiers and airmen.
I sure do, and that's the great thing about my job is I get to spend time with our fantastic soldiers, our great airmen as well, and you know, again, this is just one of those opportunities to bring those leaders together, share ideas too. We do a lot of things the same, some things differently, but there's still a lot to learn from each other, so that's a valuable piece of this conference. And one of the unique things as well, Tom, is we got to bring in Command Sergeant Major Chris Kepner. He is our new senior enlisted advisor to the Chief of National Guard Bureau. So he's working in the Pentagon, you know, at the higher echelons within the National Guard. And so it was a great opportunity to hear from him as well and, you know, the vision from him as our senior enlisted leader.
I'm visualizing some high and tight haircuts in that meeting, sir.
Everybody was within the standard and looking good, asking great questions, and gleaning a lot of great information to help us with our leadership, refining the things that we do, and of course, getting us on point, making sure that we're focused on those important things for the organization.
Sergeant Major, the state of Minnesota and city of Minneapolis is hosting the Super Bowl number 52. And we've got a lot of agencies, a lot of organizations working together to make sure it's safe. And I understand you've got a lot of soldiers out there helping this week.
We sure do. And, you know, first I'll say that we're working in support of the Minneapolis PD and, of course, all the other public support agencies and professionals. And, you know, with the approval of the governor, we put some of our service members on what we call state active duty. Right now, we have about 400 of our service members serving in that capacity to do exactly what you just mentioned. That is to make sure that all of the visitors coming to Minnesota or residents of Minnesota that are here enjoying Super Bowl activities, that it's safe, that it's fun, and that it's a memorable experience. And I would just tell the public that if they find themselves out there in that Minneapolis area and they see our soldiers, it's okay to walk up and say hi. They're very friendly. And, you know, we use the tagline of we live here, we work here, we serve here. And we really, truly mean that.
Well, I'm glad to see him out there helping all those folks. The only thing that would be better is if the Vikings would have made it to the big show, sir.
Well, there's always next year, isn't there, Tom?
Always next year. You never give up.
No, we don't.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Have a wonderful rest of the week.
Yes, sir. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one announcement this week. A music fest featuring 8 local bands will be held at the American Legion Park Ballroom in New Prague on Saturday. That's Saturday, February 10th, starting at 1 p.m. All proceeds going toward the development of a veterans memorial in the community. Find more information on Facebook at New Prague Veterans Memorial Fundraiser. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Angie Nichols, Annette Kuiper, Tim O'Neill, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelladoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet some of our service members who quietly kept the Super Bowl safe and hear about a camp dedicated to helping our returning troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.